Hunting for that magical genie with piles of cash? Join Candace and her guests as they uncover financial secrets, have a laugh at past mistakes, and savor financial rebounds. Thank you for listening. Let's dive in and do something today that your future self will thank you for.
Hello and welcome to the Money Flow Genie podcast. I am so excited to have Susan Elliott here to be my guest to talk about money and her experience and share her knowledge and give us everybody just a little bit of encouragement to move on and change their lives and just pivot and just maybe one perspective that could actually change the direction of your life. So let me tell you a little bit about Susan before we start getting going here. She is a real estate investor, an entrepreneur, an adventure athlete, which I'm looking forward to hearing more about that, mother, and a director of the investor education at Good Egg Investments. She combines a strong technical background with a master's degree in engineering, engages in storytelling to help all investors understand complex topics in finance and personal development. She's written over a decade of outdoor adventure publications, guiding customers on backpack tours, oh my gosh, teaching science in wild places. I'm going to hear about that as well, I hope. And we will find her published work in scientific journals, outdoor adventure bookshelves across the internet, and on the Good Egg Investments blog. And she also co-hosts her own show called Life and Money Show, along with Annie Dickerson at Good Egg Investments. So Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Candace. It's great to be here. It's great to talk with someone just and at this level about money. So it's a pleasure.
Oh, excellent. You know, just before we head on, there was one thing that I just wanted, in case I missed something in your bio, and we talked about this, is that, you know, society, we're not allowed to boast about our accomplishments. And so if there's something in here, because that's a lot that you've done already, I'm sure there's something else, maybe if it's even a small thing, that I give you permission and also to the listeners to boast a little bit about yourself today. So is there anything you wanted to add to that before we dive into the content of the show?
Oh, it's such a great question, because it does make me pause and reflect about, like, what is worth boasting for, and like, what are my true prideful accomplishments in this world? And the easy ones pop up quickly. The, like, I published a 300-page guidebook to the 50 top wild and scenic rivers to paddle across the United States. And my husband and I created it together. It's a beautiful sort of coffee table manual guidebook. You know, anytime you publish something of that caliber of, you know, a physical thing, you know, I am an author, I'm a published author. So that one's like the first thing that comes to my head, except that as I think about what brings me, you know, the most pride, it's not necessarily that book. You know, that book's not an integral part of my life right now. But like, what does make me proud is that, like, I've taken small actions to work towards big goals. And I can see the manifestation in that, for instance, like, I'm living in my dream town right now. Like, I live in a little mountain town where I have no idea how this house came to us. It was just out of pure luck, our connections, our world. And we own this house in a market that we would have significantly been priced out of in any other case, if any other sort of future were to have happened. And I have two amazing kids and we get to go adventure and we, you know, so I'm like, oh, we're kind of living some of our dream life. And that's like a little less, I'm proud of how we're making that happen. It's not like a thing or an accomplishment I could easily point to, like, oh, I paddled over a 30-foot waterfall at one point, or I did an expedition in India and, you know, paddled off of the Himalayan peaks, or I ran a 55-mile race last year over mountains, like, or around Mount Hood. That was a good running event. But like, it's the daily life things where you're like, ah, I did it. I'm living it. That's what kind of I feel like is the deeper meaning behind that, what I would brag about, perhaps.
That is perfect. That's totally perfect. And it is about those tiny little things. Sometimes just emptying the dishwasher in the day and going, I got that done.
Oh my gosh, I have so many of those.
An accomplishment. Yeah. But I love the fact that, you know, it is those little bits and pieces that we do within a day in the mundane where the ideas and the aha moments pop into our heads. of which then we have that moment to choose to take action on those, investigate further, and move forward. And, you know, without those moments, I don't think everything that you just listed, which was like, oh my gosh, that's so exciting. And I just want to say to the listeners, we're going to find out where you can and put in the show notes about these books and the publication. So definitely, I want to see them for sure. I want to see. So, and congratulations. That's some accomplishments. That's some accomplishment.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. It's good to hear that from someone else. I like that practice that you're doing at the beginning of your show to like get people to be comfortable with bragging about their accomplishments, because it's just reflecting and celebrating the places that we've come, and we've seeing that those small bits of daily action got us somewhere. And right. I think the evidence of taking, you know, the power of these tiny habits that we do, the little bit every day, moving positively in a direction that you're kind of interested in going, and not being paralyzed by the how big something is that you want to accomplish that you could just never do it. But if we take the time to even like look back and see that we've already done that in a way, in certain ways, like, what are you proud of? Like, well, in order to have accomplished that, did it just take like one big effort and one big day? Probably not. It was probably a lot of small efforts over a long period of time. I think that gives us the power to be able to continue to have these big goals and investing and building our wealth and building our families and, you know, traveling the world and all, in my case, of course, to be able to say like, oh no, that's possible. I just have to take these tiny steps.
Right, right. And you touched on something that's really, really important, is that to only compare yourself to yourself in that. Because if you kind of look back at pictures of yourself, even days, you know, weeks, years, you can see like, oh, this is where I was at this point in my life. Oh, I'm not there anymore. I'm here. If we look in the exterior and compare with others, then we'll always feel like we're not ahead enough. And it's always important to compare yourself only to yourself, because then you can boast.
Absolutely. Gosh, better practicing that is something I think we all work on. There's nobody that's perfect at that.
Yeah. Not well, comparing. Perfect doesn't exist in reality.
Exactly. Yeah. That's actually a word that we've kind of like banned in our house. I have a 6-year-old, and my husband was the one who had this inspiration of like, you know, we're just not even going to use the P word, we call it, in the house. And so she even calls her teacher out. Miss Brittany, you said the P word. And she's like, she's like catching herself. So I swear to this. She's like, no, perfect. She whispers, can't say that. Doesn't exist, Miss Brittany. I'm like, that's a good moment.
I love that. Look at the ripple effect of that. One tiny change. That's an example right there. One tiny change and a positive change. And then that's being carried. You've already got the generation. I wonder how many other kids are going home.
Good point. The P word.
Oh my God, that's fantastic. Well, let's get into this, the whole meat of the whole thing about money. You know, society puts pressure on us consumers. There's lots of exterior things. Money's a tool. We have to have it. It's currency. It's energy. We don't like to think it that way. Sometimes, and I know I'm guilty of this, putting too much power on money, allowing it to ruin my day if I don't have whatever it is that I want in order to achieve what I'm trying to do. And one thing that I've learned over the course of time in thinking about finances and changing the direction of my future has been impatience and wanting to have it, you know, in a shorter period of time. And sometimes getting caught up in hearing the hype of this person did it quicker than I did. What am I doing wrong? You know? And so when I think about what an analogy that I was thinking about with money is that since it's a tool, it's a screwdriver in our toolbox. Just think of it as that way. And, you know, there's, you know, different sizes of screwdrivers and a few different types. But usually when it comes to money, it kind of made me laugh. It's like, sometimes I've chosen the path of getting out the butter knife to use as a screwdriver.
Haven't we all?
And bending it and then trying to beat it back into place. And then thinking, okay, well, that sort of did it. But getting frustrated and not moving forward because of frustration. And I thought about this podcast and bringing people together to share their experiences of using the butter knife or not. And why and how the choices and those little tiny shifts and changes of saying, I'm going to take the few minutes to go to the toolbox and get the right screwdriver as opposed to opening up this drawer in front of me and using whatever's flat to make this part. And then see what that does for me. So, So basically, you know, like opening up to that. Because so what are you, with reflecting on your personal finances, like when was there a pivoting moment that you started to really pay attention to those? And if you could share a little bit of your experience on that.
Yeah, I think there absolutely was a pivotal moment in my life. I think it was mostly around in 2018, which isn't that long ago, amazingly. And my daughter was born in 2017. And so I sort of had pivoted before she was born into leaving this like very wonderful adventure life, but very scarcity-based adventure life, very paycheck to paycheck. I didn't realize how much kind of financial anxiety that had built up inside of me and that was there before that started, right? Like from my childhood. And it sort of allowed me, you know, what I thought was the right path was going back to grad school. And I went back and I got my engineering degree. And now, of course, I look at that and I'm like, oh, that was totally my scarcity mind. Like, oh, I'm just going to get a good job. I'll be an engineer. And now I was a river engineer because I'm a river person. But so I got to do cool work with cool people in cool places. But I was just like pretty miserable from the get-go doing the engineering work. Like I didn't ever think like, is this the lifestyle that I want as an engineer? Or do I actually want to be doing that sort of daily, day-to-day work? But I went back to grad school. I did that. I had my daughter. We're sort of living this different lifestyle. And I'm realizing that like, oh, this isn't the lifestyle that I had sort of envisioned or built up. And then I also kind of like forecasted ahead in terms of, are we ever going to, I was learning about these like financial freedom concepts and financial independence. And that is very much my responsibility to save up for retirement. I had in my guiding career for like all of my 20s, basically half of my 30s, been like, oh, retirement, that will never happen. I don't make enough money. I don't have the knowledge or the, you know, I'll never have a career where I can do that. I'll just work forever. I mean, that sounds ludicrous to me now that I had those thoughts, but those were absolutely real. It was just so far from my reality. But then becoming an engineer, it was like, okay, this is something I need to think about now. And oh, look, lo and behold, I'm way behind. So just seeing that where like it felt, and then I was looking at my sort of like income potential there, and it was like pretty linear, pretty flat, quite honestly. And thinking like, I'm smarter than this. Like I found funding to pay for grad school. I got myself through grad school, top marks. Like I've published books. I've published scientific papers. Like I've got to be able to figure this out. And like, fortunately I found real estate at that same time. And I don't know how I didn't wake up to real estate before, because I knew of other people like me, right? Like who were adventure guides, who were raft guides, who traveled around windsurfing around the world and also somehow owned 10 rental properties, or like were kind of hustling away building properties in the different towns. But it was always just like, oh, I can't do that. That's not open to me. And real estate, just getting into the world of real estate kind of like cracked that nut for me, because all of a sudden I was like, oh, anyone can start in real estate. Anyone can have a business. Anyone can do this because there's so many ways to come at it. And so it like quickly shed a lot of limiting beliefs that I had and actually revealed a whole lot more limiting beliefs that I wasn't addressing and that I needed to address in order to continue down that path. But it, you know, for instance, like I grew up with an engineer and a teacher as my parents, and starting a business was like, I had no exposure to that at all. No entrepreneurship. No. And so I had this idea in my head that you have to like invent something to be an entrepreneur, a business owner. Whereas then I'm seeing this real estate, people are just like copying and pasting like, oh, I'll do that strategy over here. And it works. And so I think that I saw this vision of like how I could have a little bit more, I don't want to say control, because that's not something I believe we need to have over our money. I think that it's more of like, I have the choice to choose to be able to be wealthy. And I didn't have that choice before because I limited myself to it. So it was right around that time period. And of course, like I tried all different kinds of things in real estate and have found an easier path for myself and my family. And but there was a moment in there that was like, it was more like a reckoning, and then some deep work that followed.
Right. Now, when you did that deep work and you had that that realization that you needed to do that, do you mind sharing like how you went about? Did you work on your own with self-development? Did you hire a coach? Like, how did you address those issues in order to be able to move forward?
Yeah, great question. I would say that one thing that was great is that I aligned myself with a group of people. So I originally joined the Real Estate Investor Goddesses group, and something drew me to that group. I have no idea. I've always been sort of like drawn to groups of women who do hard things. As like a whitewater kayaker who was paddling at pretty advanced levels, like there's just not many women who were doing it at the time. So I, for instance, I would go kayaking on really difficult rivers, and I'd frequently be with all boys all the time. There's just no other women. And then you'd see another woman and you'd be like, hey, oh my gosh, we should go kayaking together. And then occasionally there's like the clouds part, and suddenly you're with like just three amazing women who are doing this thing. And you're like, you just feel so uplifted. So I had that experience, and then go into engineering. And some of my best girlfriends were in that engineering program. And because we're surrounded by men almost all the time, and then you're still a minority. And so for me to like just gravitate to that in real estate investing made a ton of sense. And there was a lot of deep work within inherent in that program, and just asking questions about like, where do your money beliefs come from? How do you feel about like what you should be doing with wealth? And it was like shocking to realize I had so much negative association with money and wealth. And so I think just by the nature of that program, it kind of like dug out what needed to get dug out. And then on top of that, like just personally, my husband and I love going to therapy when we can. We typically initiate it when we need it. It's like, we'd love to just have it be going on all the time in the background. But that our life doesn't allow us to do that very often. And there is an expense issue. I'm definitely still on the too thrifty side of that spectrum. But that helped a lot too, you know, working as a couple. Money was a big source of stress for us. So we did a lot of work around that as well as a couple. So we kind of came at it from that angle too. And just kind of like realized that as I was kind of acquiring our first house hack and changing it into a rental, and then realizing I kind of wanted to start more of a business looking for other rentals, I kind of started some short-term rental businesses with a friend, and we ended up starting a non-performing notes business and purchasing non-performing notes with other JV partners and trying to rehab those so we could keep homeowners in their homes. So like definitely testing out different strategies along the way, but the background work that went there was honestly more valuable than like the nitty gritty of like how to do deal analysis on a non-performing note opportunity in Ohio. Like that's the work that I think is going to make me a happier person with money and honestly build my wealth faster.
Right. And, you know, there's tons of textbooks and YouTube videos and mentorship out there that the how-to. It's copy and paste, just mimic, and you can do it. There are little nuances in between that maybe with an experienced person, you can just say, hey, what'd you do in this situation? Mm-hmm. But to be able to be there in that moment, to have the courage to step forward and do something brand new that you may or may not succeed, that's the biggest hurdle. And that's where, you know, we can choose to create a life of by design, or we can choose to live a life by default. And if we don't address those issues as we're moving forward, because if you grow, there's going to be things that are changing that are uncomfortable, like mm-hmm. you were just sharing. And we've all gone through those like, oh my gosh, I have a belief system that I had no idea that was holding me back. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much for sharing that interpersonal journey, because it is very important. The key element to all of this, to making change in your life, is to be able to surround yourself with people that know and have done it, and people that are supporting you to move forward when you feel like you maybe are a little too afraid to do it.
Exactly. I think that I jumped right into a mastermind group through that program. And I am so grateful that I took that plunge, because it felt like a big deal, like paying for something when I feel like I need to put every dime into my investments. But I look back and that was one of the best decisions. I did eventually outgrow that program, but what lasted was the relationships. I mean, I had accountability calls with some of my fellow goddess ladies for years after that, weekly sometimes accountability calls and just like check-ins on each other. And that value is sort of like, it's priceless to be able to know where and how you can tap into the community of people that you know will uplift you to keep moving towards your big goals. Yeah, it's so important. And I don't think this is like talked about enough. You know, this is why you have this podcast, because people, you know, you see the wealth building journey and these like the big gurus out there, or, you know, there's just like a lot of sort of how to's, like you said, you can Google that stuff, you can figure that out. But what people don't like to talk about is the, like, if you do the deep work, if you dive into your historical document and your relationship with your parents, like, you'll build wealth faster. Like, no, that's not as clickbaity as like your 10 tips to buying more rentals in 2024.
Definitely. I remember when I first got into the multifamily space, we did it all backwards. We got into the best and final, but we didn't have the investor base. We didn't have the sponsor. It was like, I don't even know how we got there. It was some really talking, I think, you know, really good presentations going on. And spending the next 16 hours interviewing sponsors and pitching the deal to them. And that was where I really learned how to step into the unknown. Because I had no idea how to, at that point, from where I was to where the conversations and the caliber of people that I were talking to financially was. Mm-hmm. I was sitting there shaking in my skin going, okay, so what is your net worth? And what is your liquidity?
I just asked them.
It was like, hi, I don't know you, but let's just open up your bank account right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It wasn't possible.
Yeah,
we can come to the table with a lot of skills, but being open to knowing that you have skills yet to learn is really important. Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. So now I hear, you know, reading your bio, you know, nature is obviously, you've been referring to it constantly, and how interesting that's a river, because a river is always flowing. It's always, mm-hmm. you can't control it. You can only redirect water. So how does nature, how do you think that comes in? Cause I'm a huge nature fan. Mm-hmm. How does that come into your life and bring the serenity and allow you to step forward through all of these challenges of, you know, new discoveries about yourself and moving forward to advance your life?
Yeah. Great question. I mean, it's just fully my recharge zone and my, you know, I think that there's a lot of scientific evidence too around the value of being in awe. I know that like the science lab at Berkeley does a lot of work around this, and I probably published a book. They've got a great podcast of like how just like feeling the sense of awe on a regular basis can calm all of our nervous system down. It allows us to re-regulate our emotions. It does all kinds of things for our mental and physical health, like heartbeat, right? Blood pressure, all of these things that that we need to be able to be high performers, that we need to be able to be the like adventure athlete, the full-time business owner, the side hustler, the mother, the daughter, like all these titles that I have for myself. Like I need to, in order to bring myself to those, like I need to have that recharge zone. And I think that I remember being drawn to kayaking when I was in high school. I started kayaking in high school and I worked as a rafting guide in the summertime. And I liked guiding rafts, but I liked kayaking more. And I liked teaching people to kayak more. And I kind of followed that path as opposed to just kind of, we call it like pushing rubber, like just getting people down the river in rafts. I like that. You can get more people down at one time, then you can change their day. You can change their life. But I like giving someone the tools, spending 3 days teaching someone to whitewater kayak, giving them the tools to experience this place and nature and like do a really hard, scary thing. Like, I'm going to ask you to paddle down those rapids and you could flip over and have to swim out of your kayak, because at that point, they're not learning how to do the roll to flip back up. That's an advanced skill. And that's scary, because when you flip upside down, you're stuck to that boat unless you know how to pull yourself out, which is quite easy, but it's a panic moment. You can't breathe under there, right? And so to see people kind of like go through those transformations, I think it just like reinforced the power of nature in me too throughout my career. So I had the fortunate to not just, it wasn't just my playground. It was like the playground that I saw that could like transform people's lives. And so I think I always had that respect for it as I, you know, found different ways to make it my job, to make it my passion. And in these days, I don't specifically work in guiding, but of course, a part of me is like, ooh, the second I reach financial freedom, I'm going to be a raft guide again. I'm going to be a kayak instructor again. And now these days I've gotten into trail running because it's quite a lot easier to do than whitewater kayaking, just time-wise. And like, you know, I can do it by myself. I can do it, all kinds of things. But I'm like, I'll just go ahead and try to run the whole PCT. Like, it's just big, ridiculous things that one day I'll get to do. But just like challenging myself in nature has always been really fulfilling to me, I think. That's where nature went. And then, like I said, I was like, well, if I'm going to be an engineer, I might as well be an engineer in river engineering. But I also had that skill set. Like, I could read a river. I can understand what's going on, where the water's going, what that's going to do to the riverbank, the wood, the everything in there. And so it was pretty holistic for me. And now I get to like teach these things to my kids. And really, it's just like going in nature. That's all you don't have to teach them anything. You just teach them to drink water while they're out there. That's kind of it. Put some sunscreen on. That's it.
Oh my God. You touched on something there that is really important that I think that a lot of listeners may not feel like they can be empowered to do so, which is, you know, at any given time in your life, you can pivot and change your career, as well as the fact that the point of changing a career and making something happen is find something within it that you love. So engineering, that's a very broad spectrum, and you chose something that you love. Therefore, it became a very easy, natural, intuitive place to be. And from, you're the sense of stress, you know, people have a lot of stress in work. And if you don't love what you do, it stresses you out. No one can make an effective decision, a good decision, based on stress.
Yeah.
Pressure, all of that stuff, you know, burn the boats. I disagree with that because the body does not perform well. The brain does not have all the oxygen it needs in order to make an informed decision. So I love the fact that you just explained how you made that choice and then you connected it with your passion, because that's what we need to do. We're not really taught that. We're not even given, you know, permission to do that. And that can even be in just, you know, like a side hustle. You know, I use the word hustle because if you're working full time, it is kind of a hustle when you're doing something else on the side. Mm-hmm. It does require extra energy to do so, but make it something that you love to do, whether it's investing in real estate. Now, getting into real estate. So how did you end up going? So it sounded like you were doing like single family. And, you know, I like to just add to the listeners that, you know, real estate is not a foreign thing. We all really know it. If you rent an apartment, you understand real estate just from the tenant perspective. But now think about what you would want to be if you were a landlord. How would you want your tenant to feel? Well, you already have an advantage to think about being as a landlord. So you just have to, it's just those things to like, oh yeah, I know real estate. I may not know the bits and pieces, like we said. You can find a book or whatever, and experience is going to give you the experience to feel more confident. But every time you do something, a new project, a new real estate transaction, it's always, everything's different. Just like people are all different when you meet someone new. So how did you end up transitioning into more of the multifamily realm?
Yeah. I went through this period where I was sort of like trying to find the type of real estate investing that I wanted to do. And I think that this is so common with beginners. Most people start with just like single family home investing. Whether you get there through house hacking or you buy a duplex or you just like, because that's the most tangible. Like you said, like I've rented an apartment, I've rented a house, therefore I understand that. So I can do that thing, right? And then as you get deeper into learning about real estate investing and like, oh, I could try this. I could scale up to this form. I could go out of state. And so you're taking these like little next steps. But I think along the way too, just the way our consumption culture and the consumption of education, the like, you know, the people trying to make money to teach you all about real estate investing, right? You're going to be bombarded with like, but you can do land, you could do notes, you could do rentals, you could do out of state, you could do Airbnb, you could do. And so I think every investor experiences that like fire hose. I certainly did. And I saw all my friends doing it too. And you really just like, it's okay if you bounce around. I want to let everybody know that like, I bounced around. I wasn't wasting my time. I was learning about all kinds of things, and I was learning what I did like and didn't like. But I kind of knew I wanted to start a business, and I had a great friend that we kind of entered this journey together. And she and I took up a few Airbnb projects where we were just managing the Airbnb. So we didn't own the underlying real estate, but that was our way to develop the like business of Airbnb-ing. And then as we were going to progress, we were going to buy more and more of our own properties and kind of like run a business together in that way. And we did a little bit of that, but as we were doing that, we were also learning about notes. And so we took a course. It was at a great price point, just as like a, let's learn about what, how this works, because we liked the idea of helping people stay in their homes. And so we decided, nope, we're going to do notes. Let's like kind of put aside the Airbnb stuff. Working with owners of homes and their Airbnbs was kind of a nightmare too, I'm not gonna lie. And we started to do this notes business, and we built it for like 2 years, and she went on maternity leave. I built all of the background. I realized I really liked the education stuff. Like lo and behold, I just wanted to be a guide again, as it turns out, which is like another line here is that like, that's what I do full time now. I am not an engineer anymore. And it's amazing that I've gotten to this place, and real estate has gotten me to like, what is more of like a very much more in alignment of a career for me. But back then, you know, we were still building it, but unfortunately, like as she and her husband came on board, they quickly realized that they didn't want to do it anymore. And I had this like coming to moment of failure, because if they weren't going to do it, then I couldn't do it by myself at that point in my life. I was also about to have my second child in a few months. They're basically telling me like, "Ooh, we've just tried this for the, you know, past 3 months," now that they're not in their sort of like the maternity cloud, the newborn cloud. And we don't want to do it anymore. And I was like, excuse me, I've been building this for the last year and a half behind the scenes. I have like all of this like ramped up, ready to go. And you're telling me you don't want to do it anymore. It was like, I had to deal with a lot of like these feelings of like, I failed. I can't be a business owner. I am never going to get this done. I've wasted. Again, you look at like, I've wasted time. And of course, even then I was like, I know I'm going to look at this later and thank this failure. We all learn from failures. It's hard when you're in the moment though, right? But it was the best thing that ever happened. Best thing that ever happened to me. And I realized that like through all of that, I wanted to be involved in investor education. I wanted to like help people think about their finances, because I was someone who never did that. And I feel like I can help a lot of people in that way. But I also realized like, I don't want to do the operations side of the real estate investing company. Like I just don't want to do grunt work deal analysis, quite honestly, of like analyzing hundreds of properties to find one or two gems offering a million times. I wanted to like potentially create a team of people to do that in my own business. But it wasn't a passion of mine at that moment. I mean, also like about to have my second kid, like, whoa, it was a lot of like, okay, I need to go on pause for a minute here. But I didn't want my money, like I had some money saved up and I thought, you know, I'm just going to put it into one of these syndications and kind of split it out into a couple different ones, try out a different sponsorship team here or there and see what it works. And it's gone great. Like even through, you know, this past big cycle of kind of like boom in our real estate market where things were just selling for super high in the past years. And now there's these real estate issues. I mean, these interest rate issues going on. Like I picked great teams to work with who know what they're doing. And my money is deployed. And I like, think about it. I have like investments in like 5 different states now. And I've done no of the work. Like, I mean, it just blows my mind that this is available to us. And more people don't know about it. And it's so easy. And I think that our culture tells us we have to go through that hustle and grind phase first. You've got to earn your badge to be able to, you know, invest in syndications, to kick back your feet. And like, what a bogus reflection of like, you have to work your butt off before you can take a break. And I just am like, oh, actually, you don't. You don't have to. You can be smart. You can learn. You can vet, and you can make really wise investing decisions. You can invest in real estate, and you don't have to buy into this culture of like, well, you've got to like grind your way first.
I hear you there. And, you know, I keep coming across as I'm, you know, going to meetups and meeting more people and talking to investors. And they're like, okay, I've been an LP for years now. I want to get on the GP side. And I'm just thinking, why do you want to do that? That you are in the prime spot. I mean, I'm a GP and I'm also a limited partner. And for those listening, syndication is where it's a private investment for multifamily that you can invest in, but you just, you know, you're the team that are the general partners are the ones that are really running the deal, and you just kick back and watch the deal and, you know, interact with them on hopefully on a quarterly basis to see how the property is running, but really not having to worry about anything for the most part if you do your homework in the beginning before you choose them. And but going back to, I just think, you know, I really like the LP limited partner position. I really like that. I love the GP position because I love real estate. And I also love just the whole dynamics of running a business. I've been an entrepreneur since I was 11. But if you're not an entrepreneur, this is going to be a big wake up call if you get into a GP position. you're doing a lot of hours, just like you do when you own a business, for no pay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I know you caught on the word intrapreneur in my bio, and it's like a new identity that I've embraced because of that failure of like, well, now I don't have this business that I started and I want to start a new one. But quite honestly, like I need to feed my family right now. And I'm really interested in this side of the business, which was the education, which is like sharing all about these concepts with people. And Julie and Annie approached me and were like, well, do you as you ease back in after your maternity leaves, you know, if you want to come and just work with us, we'd love to have you on the team. And we kind of tested it out after a while. And I realized that like, I can do just this with this team. I can like feel like an entrepreneur in my own version within this like pretty small but mighty team that's doing this type of work. And get to feel the same types of, surges of energy I got as an entrepreneur. Like right now, for instance, this caught my mind when you said, what are you going to boast about? And I was like, ooh, what am I proud of right now? That's a little bit scary too. And that's that, like, I'm trying to take these ideas to YouTube. And I feel like, and so I'm trying to like share more YouTube videos, but this is a huge learning curve for me. And I've done a lot of social media. I've done a lot of writing. I've done a lot of blogging. I'm happy to speak in front of a camera, but there's a lot of strategy and really fun stuff to do. And you can reach a lot of people on YouTube. So I get to test and do these new things, and I still get to be involved in real estate. I still get to do this. I had to like, it took me a long time to realize that like, it's okay if I'm not an engineer, even though I put in all the time and effort to do that. And I can even go back to that one day if I really wanted to. And so I think, yeah, like I'm really happy being in an LP right now. And I'm really happy working with the Good Egg team on, you know, they're the GPs, but I'm not the one, I'm not doing the GP duties that I didn't like doing, right? I've figured out what it is that I like doing every day. And I've been like, I'm not doing these things that I don't like doing every day anymore. I don't have the like mental bandwidth. It's not worth it to me anymore. I have too much to give to this world, and it's like too important to me to waste my time doing that kind of stuff.
Congratulations on that. That's huge. Do you know how big that is to make that decision? And I also just want to add, you are applying your engineering degree.
Yeah. I didn't realize I would be so much.
It's not in the numbers. It's not in, I'm going to design, you know, whatever, you know, I'm going to control this river. You're controlling a river of information. I mean, mm-hmm. You have to look at it in that perspective. Everything that you're doing is engineering. It's just not in the textbook way that we've been taught that this is what engineering is.
Exactly.
But you've got your river of Good Egg investments that you're flowing. and you're redirecting and you're rafting down and bringing all of the investors with you.
Exactly. I mean, talk about like helping people through challenging things and technical concepts and breaking it down in simple ways that we don't have to have fear entering into all these equations. Like that is what gives me joy. So it's kind of like, oh, this makes more sense. Okay. Yeah. This fits me. This is what it brings me joy.
That's beautiful. Oh my gosh. I'm so happy that you shared that because not many people, just hearing that and knowing that you've done that and you're making that choice and you're a mom. I mean, there's like a lot of factors there. People will say, I can't do it because of this. I can't do it because of that. You know, if you do that, this is part of like this, even though we don't see it as that so much, but this is a part of self-care that is really important that we pay attention to. Happiness mm-hmm. is the key to life. You know, money can bring happiness only. It brings opportunity. Happiness is something that is within, but we have to nurture that. And we have mm-hmm. to pay attention to when we're feeling that. Mm-hmm. And money is not going to do it. Money may provide opportunities to be able to experience more happiness. But money, we're really what it allows when we are using it effectively is to reduce the stress in our lives so that we can be in a calmer, more serene place and living.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
That's really what money is about. It's just, it's a tool that we all have to use in society, but no more.
Just another screwdriver in our drawer.
That's right. Yeah. You know, so you can use the butter knife. Sometimes it works, but get a box of tools. Invest in the tools, you know, because and kind of summarize, I mean, I could talk to you for hours. And this has been phenomenal. Thank you so much, first of all.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Yeah,
I hope I think our listeners will really get a really good insight, you know, like and to be able to reflect inside, like, what is it that I need to do? What is it do I need to think about? Am I doing this? Am I doing that? Or just being inspired, just simply being inspired to move forward and make some changes in your life to be happy, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's what this is all about.
Yeah. It's what it's all about. And, you know, and I call this podcast The Money Full of Genie just because, you know, who wouldn't want to have that little lantern?
Yeah. But then only to find that like, oh, that didn't solve all my problems. Huh. Things are deeper. Like,
isn't that interesting?
This is the way that I look at things. This is the way that I think about money. This is the way that I choose to like spend my time, who I'm around, all these things. Yeah.
Right. As well as the fact that, which I think, you know, everything that you shared also shows that it's not the destination that when we get there, we'll be happy. It's everything that we've built up to that destination. And when we get to that destination, there's always more that we want, you know? And so the memories and the bits and pieces that we have become as we grow, that is the key. That is, you know, the saying, the joy is in the journey. Because that's where we really grow. That's what we reflect on, is like you did, the storytelling, you know? Because otherwise we could just say, oh, I got a degree in engineering and now I work for good investments. Oh, thank you very much for the podcast.
Yeah, boring. That's not what happened. That's not the story at all. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's so great. Thank you so much. I just want to end with... Pema Chodron quote, which is share the wealth, be generous with your joy, give away what you want most, and be generous with your insights and delights. And that's the goal of this podcast. I thank you so much for sharing and being so transparent because, you know,
yeah, thanks for having me. Great conversation.
Thank you so much. And thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time.
The info in this podcast is straight from our personal experiences. You alone possess the power to manifest your desires. You are the genie in the bottle, awaiting your command. So ask smart questions. We're not licensed financial pros, so be sure to consult with a licensed professional, attorney, or tax consultant.